cry out to Him in the storm, and watch how He will build your faith. Faith is a gift that's given by God. You can't do anything of yourselves. You have to lean on Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why He is such a precious gift.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is focusing on Jesus.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking today about keeping our focus on Jesus Christ when times become stormy. In Psalms 145, verse 8, we read, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." But how soon we forget that when the good times of life suddenly come to an abrupt end and we find ourselves in troubling times. It's easy for us to forget who God really is. But when we keep our focus on Jesus Christ, we keep our focus on the character of God. That's because Jesus is the glory of God. He reveals to us the character of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets in that day, they only knew about God, but they did not know Him in the person. As Christians today, we have a glorious gift. We have Jesus Himself through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we don't have to just know about God, but we can know God. We can get to know about how He is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love. And we can feel His presence around us and within us. And we have the ability through the Holy Spirit to share His graciousness, His compassion, and His love to other people. How many times when a storm hits our lives do we forget about the real blessings of God? The real blessing that God has given all of us is Jesus Christ. God sent His one and only begotten Son to pay the penalty for all of our sins, to die in our place. Yet, when things go wrong, when things don't work out the way we thought they should work out, we suddenly forget the goodness, the graciousness, the compassion, the love of God. We start to focus on our problem. We start to focus on ourselves. We start to focus on the people and things around us and how quick we are to forget about Jesus. But even though many Christians are guilty of that today, it's comforting to know that even the disciples who walked with Jesus for about 3 years still had a problem with their faith in Him as well. As we read in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, this is the account where Jesus is walking on water. And it's mentioned in some other gospels, but this one here in particular talks about how Peter walked on water as well. So let's begin now in Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on the mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." I want to point out something here that's very important. Notice how in verse 22, Jesus commanded the disciples to go ahead of Him. He told them to go to the other side. Now, of course, Jesus already knew that there was going to be a storm that the disciples would be heading into. Of course, He knew that. and he sent them to go through it. Did you know that in our own lives, in our own walk with Jesus Christ, he will send you through a storm? Now, I am not saying that God picks on us, because he doesn't. I am saying that there are things inside of us, fruit that needs to be grown, that God sees, and he knows exactly what it will take to start growing that fruit. Now, we all know that Jesus refers to fruit that grows on the branches. And when the fruit doesn't grow, what happens? God has to cut back on the branches. Nobody likes the cutting process, but without cutting, fruit doesn't grow. So God has to cut some of the things out of our lives, and to do that, storms are necessary. Just like if you were to prune back a grapevine, you would have to use shears. You would have to cut, prune, and throw away the uselessness. That's what God does when we run into storms in life. There are times when the enemy comes into our lives and he will attack us and he will try to destroy and to steal from us. Even then, if we focus on Jesus Christ, he can turn it around and use what the devil meant for evil for good. Because even in our hard times, we can get a blessing by leaning and focusing on Jesus Christ. Now, some people, they just give up on God. Something terrible happens in their lives and they think to themselves, how could an all-loving God allow this? Well, Job had questions like that too. And it's a little out of the focus of this teaching, but as you know, God's answer to Job was, who are you to question me? And God showed to Job all of his wondrous works. And of course, Job realized after hearing from God that he was no one to question God. See, God sees the big picture and we only see our small perspective. That doesn't make tragedies and hard times in life any easier, but it is comforting to know that if we stay focused on Jesus, we can get a blessing out of even the most terriblest of circumstances. And so when we keep our focus on Jesus Christ, we can hear what he is saying to us through the hard times, through the storms, and he, through our obedience, can walk us through them. Now, getting back to this scripture, verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. They didn't even recognize the Lord. They were scared because they hadn't seen anything like this, and who has, in their entire lives. But being the loving God that he is, we read in verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. When we find ourselves in trouble, especially going through a storm, God is always there to comfort us. We only need to seek him. We only need to come to him and ask him, Lord, where are you in this time of my life? I'm afraid and I need you to come and comfort me. And God will immediately be there for you. You only have to believe that he's there. In verse 28, we read, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now see, Peter, he was the guy that always wanted to get into the middle of everything before he thought about anything. He was just a fly by the seat of your pants kind of guy. And he said, look, if it's you, Jesus, then command me to come on the water. Now that is a great statement of faith. How many times have you asked God to do something in your life, knowing that it was going to be a difficult thing for you to pull off if God wasn't with you? And so Peter was reaffirming, look, God, if you're with me, I can do this. So go ahead, tell me to do this and I will do it. See, that takes a lot of faith, but faith needs perseverance and focus. And we're going to find out that Peter lost his focus. So in verse 29, we read, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Peter took his focus off of Jesus and started looking at the wind. He started to look around at his circumstances, and he began to think to himself, this is an impossibility. How could I be walking on water? And the wind, it is so forceful. The waves, they are so large. This is impossible. How can I be doing this? I can't be doing this. And so his lack of faith caused him to begin to sink. But he did the right thing. As he started to sink, he cried out to God. He cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Now that took faith because he knew that Jesus could save him. Have you ever been to the bottom of the pit or on your way down to the bottom of the pit and just cried out to God? Oh, God, save me. If your heart is opened to him in faith, in seeking him, yes, God will come save you. But sometimes the saving isn't exactly the way that we want it to be. Now, Peter needed a physical saving here. He needed to be pulled up out of the water so he wouldn't be consumed by the waves, so he wouldn't lose his life. But sometimes we have circumstances that come around us in our lives, and we feel the waves and the wind blowing against us, and we know that we're walking in the obedience of God. Peter wasn't doing anything wrong when he stepped out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus. He was doing what Jesus commanded him to do. Jesus said, come, and Peter started to do it. So why did Peter find himself sinking? Because even though he believed enough to step out to go towards Jesus, he didn't have the perseverance in his faith to stand against the winds and the waves, and of course, the doubt that would creep into his own mind. See, that's what happens when we step out with God. We may say a prayer, Lord, I want more out of my life. I want to serve you. So he says, come, follow me. We head in that direction, and then the winds and the waves, Satan himself will challenge you. And then you begin to doubt. And then you feel as if you're sinking. And then when you cry out to God, save me, he will come and strengthen you. Sometimes it's with a scripture. He just gives you a word of encouragement to hang in there, to persevere, to believe. And if you're in dire straits, he can even come and save you physically. But listen to what he says in verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Now, of course, Jesus took care of the immediate need of Peter. And notice how Peter didn't have the faith to save himself, but Jesus still saved him. You got to understand that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That when we are too weak to have our own faith, Jesus will step up to the plate if you cry out to him. And he will lend you a helping hand in your faith. But expect to be rebuked like Peter. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when we take our focus off Jesus Christ, our faith dwindles. Somebody once told me that when they read the Old Testament, they believe God to be mean and unforgiving and even cruel. But when they read the New Testament, they feel comfort and peace, and they feel as if God is loving. God is the same God in both testaments. The difference is that when this person reads the New Testament, they're focusing on the character of God. They're focusing on Jesus Christ. They're focusing on God's grace. And that's what Jesus Christ is to us. He is grace. He is a gift from God. And when we cry out to him, he is ready to be there for us. In verse 32, it says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Ever notice how when God pulls you out of something, that's when you can start worshipping him? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that when the storm is over, because it says the wind died down, now they felt safe, now they had enough faith to claim who he was, to recognize who he was. But see, that's what storms of lives should do for us. When we get through them, we should have a higher level of faith. In fact, if we don't have a higher level of faith when the storms have passed. Truly, we have missed out on a very, very big blessing. And like the Hebrews in the desert, we may have to go through the same storm again in order to get it right. So when you find yourself in a storm, cry out to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Ask God to show you what it is He is trying to teach you in this storm. Lean on Jesus. Worship the Lord. Focus on Jesus. And watch how He will take you by the hand and He will save you. It may not be in your timing. It may not even be in your method, but He will do it because He is the Lord Almighty. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Even when you're in doubt, you can cry out to Jesus, "Save me." You can tell Him anything that's on your heart, and He is there to listen. He is there with graciousness, compassion, patience, and love. Cry out to Him in the storm and watch how He will build your faith. Faith is a gift that's given by God. You can't do anything of yourselves. You have to lean on Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why He is such a precious gift, is because we can lean on Him to be the Lord of our lives. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, we read about how Jesus calms another storm. Verse 35, "That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" Now again, Jesus is calling them out to go through a testing. The Spirit of the Lord will lead you into a period of testing. Verse 36, "Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along, just as He was, in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him.'" Now, as you can see, Jesus led them to the testing, and He was sleeping as if He wasn't paying attention. Have you ever felt like God just isn't paying attention to you when you're going through a storm? You say, "God, where are you? Why can't I feel you? Why can't I hear from you? I don't sense you. Where are you?" And it's as if He's asleep while you're going through these storms. Oh yes, when things are going great, you can feel God. You can thank God. You know He's there. You're blessed. But then the storms hit. "Where are you at, God? What happened to you? Don't you care?" Ever find yourself doing that? Ever find yourself feeling that way? But see, they did the right thing. They cried out to Him. And even though Jesus had walked with them and showed them many miracles, what did they say? "Who is this?" No wonder Jesus asked, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Notice the word "still." The word "still" is also used in verse 39 where He says, "Quiet, be still." You think He was talking to the waves? Perhaps. But I think it had a double meaning. I think He was telling the disciples, "Shh, be still." See, sometimes we get into such a frenzy that we can't hear from God. And we start to panic, while God is simply telling us, "Be still in front of Me. Listen to My small, still voice, and you will hear My answer." Now, that's an example of a storm. But what about when provisions are needed? In Matthew 14, verses 15 through 20, we read about the disciples. We read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Verse 15, "As evening approached, the disciples came to Him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food.' Jesus replied, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.'" Well, how are they going to feed them? Well, they could have asked Jesus. Jesus was with the disciples, right there with them. So he was telling them, look, if you want them to eat, give them something. What was he saying? Ask me. What was their reply? In verse 17, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. So Jesus, extending a helpful hand of faith, says, bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The disciples were thinking in human limitations. They were coming to Jesus with a need, but they weren't asking God for the provision. You know, when we do that, we're basically saying, look, God, there's a problem. And I think I know how to solve it. So this is what you need to do. Do you find yourself doing that in prayer? Do you find yourself going to God and telling him what needs to be done? The disciples were telling Jesus, send these people away. They need to go eat. And Jesus was saying, they don't need to go away. They're here with me. They're spending time with me, and I don't want to take that from them. Why are you fretting over food when you have me with you? Why would you have these people who are learning from me, who are spending time with me, fellowshipping with me? Why would you have these people sent away? When we are doing God's work, he will provide. And what is God's work? Is it all about church? Is it all about a lesson learned? Certainly those are important things of God's work, but what about compassion on people? What about people who are hungry? Have you ever seen a homeless person with a sign, we'll work for food? Or simply, I'm hungry, need money, need help. And if you've thought to yourself, perhaps in your heart, that guy probably has more money than I do. He probably does that for a living. Is that what you say in your heart? Because if it is, you're not thinking like Christ. Christ says, you give them something to eat. And perhaps if you only have a limited amount of money or resources, you think to yourself, I can't. But God says, you have me. And I say, you give them something to eat, and I will supply. That doesn't mean that when you reach into your pocket and give that man your last dollar, that God is going to supernaturally have you pull out $2, one for you and one for him. No. But God will supply back to you what you give from your heart. And then notice what I said, from your heart. You can't be following this gospel of prosperity. You can't say, God, I'm going to give because I want back. No. You have to give in the character of God. You have to work God's work in the character of God. And that's why I started this teaching with Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Guess what? This God described here is our God, who lives inside of every Christian. And when you submit to his Spirit that lives inside of you, then you too can be gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. You can reach into your pockets and give the homeless money, food, and above all, grace, compassion, and love. And if you're listening right now and you don't have the Holy Ghost inside of you because you've never made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I would like to invite you to do that. Right now, this is the biggest and the best decision that you're ever going to make. And so, if you haven't made that decision yet, and you're ready to make that decision, then say this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins, and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God. And may I suggest something to not only you, the new believer, who said this prayer, but to every Christian out there, I would ask you to say this to the Lord every day. Pray to Him that you will be in the footsteps for the plan that He has for your life. Ask Him every day, Lord, help me submit to your plans for my life. Watch God work, because He has an amazing way of putting you in the right place at the right time with the right people in the right circumstances. And sometimes, as a Christian, you will find yourself in something that is perplexing, something that just doesn't seem to make sense, because in this day and age, we have the gospel of prosperity, where everything for a Christian seems to be going perfect, according to some of these people who talk this nonsense. But the true Christian goes through hardships to get to the other side. And God will lead you through those hardships if your heart is open, open to Him, and listening for His voice. When you find yourself in despair, when you find yourself sinking in the ocean of doubt and fear and uncertainty, cry out, Jesus, save me! And watch how He will extend a helping hand to you.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.